San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, September 22, 2019. Today's lesson is Your Invisible Muse with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Thank you, and good morning. And welcome to those of you who are visiting for the very first time. We always love to have guests. It touches our hearts and our souls to simply be present in the love, the varieties of love that are part of all creation. As I do every Sunday, I would like to begin with a statement of truth. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. This is part of the Science of Mind Declaration of Principles, which you'll find on the back of your program. And it is simply the truth. And it is so powerful that I love saying it. I love saying it. It is such an anchor for me every Sunday and every day. Now, today we're carrying on with our theme for September, which is inspiration. And I tell you, when a minister is giving a talk and when we have a monthly theme, we live it. We absolutely live it. So I have been inspired by so many things all month long. We set up these talk titles at the beginning of the year. And so as they come up, it's like, what was I thinking? And then it comes to me what I was thinking, because we know when we ask, we receive an answer. We know that if ever one prayer was answered, then all prayers must be answered. It's the law. It's a spiritual law. But that's a whole nother lesson. So today we're talking about our invisible muse. It is in New Thought, where we look at New Thought, ancient wisdom.
That may be too much air.
Is there too much air for you?
Okay.
I can tip it down a little more. Oh, there, that's about perfect. Okay, so New Thought, ancient wisdom. And therefore, it is appropriate for us to draw upon ancient wisdom, like the nine muses. The muses are from Greek mythology. There were nine of them, and even though there are lots of gods and goddesses in Greek mythology, none were as influential as the nine muses. They were created to give inspiration, knowledge, artistry, and music to the ancient world. Now, I'm not professing this as the absolute truth. What I'm telling you is about Greek mythology, okay? But there is a correlation in where we're going. The muses were nine beautiful young women who were the goddesses and the embodiments of science, literature, and the arts. And in ancient culture, they were the source of all orally related knowledge. And we know that the oral traditions are how we came up with the stories that we then later wrote when we had the written language. Of course, the Greeks already did have written language, but before them, there was the oral tradition. They were considered to be the personification of knowledge and of the arts, especially dance and literature and music. And since we're talking about inspiration this month, it was the muses who were said to be the source of all inspiration. Now, how did they get to inspire everybody? Interestingly enough, they had very powerful parents. Zeus, who was the head god, the all-powerful, if we could take away his human and petty qualities, we could say that in their world, he was God the Father. Now, it's their mother that gives meaning to the power of Zeus and the purpose of the muses. Their mother was Mnemosyne, the goddess of memory. The goddess of memory. And the reason that's important is because we get to think about the omniscience of the divine here in our world today and always. So the ancient wisdom said that Mnemosyne knew everything. She remembered everything that ever occurred. She was the collective memory. Now, in today's world, we have different names for that. Some people call it the Akashic Records, the collective memory of a planet, and that each planet has its own set of Akashic Records. And the universe comprises all of those sets into one. We're growing this, right? The omniscience of the divine has all of that within itself. Now, why would that be important? Why is everything ever known, everything to be known, collected in one place? Why is that important? Because that one place, that one being, that one light, that one life is right inside of you. It is you. It's who you are. In the omnipresence, we know that the divine is everywhere. So each one of you, every one of your cells, divine. Every one of your thoughts, divine. These chairs, divine. Everything, everything. Infinite spirit, the universal spirit, God the Father, whatever we call it, is everything. It is infinite. One thing we know that when we've got the finite and the infinite, that the finite can't create infinite. It just doesn't have it in it. But the infinite is therefore the source of the finite. So this infinite creates all that is. And Ernest Holmes has something to say about that. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And he says this on page 87, paragraph 2 and 3. Remember, finite cannot create infinite. Therefore, infinite must be the source of the finite. No limit can be placed upon the spirit of man. It merges with the universal spirit, for the two are really one. God is in us as we are in God. The same essence, the degree apparently different. The one finite and the other infinite, and since the infinite cannot come from the finite, it follows that the finite must come from the infinite, a little circle within the big circle. Metaphysically, we recognize the universal spirit as the source of all life and inspiration. There's that word again. An infinite self-knowingness, which we grasp only in part, but which is ever available since the infinite is omnipresent. The mind of man is an extension of the eternal mind or spirit, and his evolution is the unfolding of this everlasting mind or spirit through his thought. Everything that we learn is not something new. It is something that we are remembering from the depths of our infinite spark of life. Therefore, the goddess of memory, Mnemosyne, that concept also lives within us. Everything is known. Mnemosyne remembered everything. So as we think that we're learning new things, all we're doing is remembering something that our souls and our spirits have already known. We just kind of temporarily forgot when we came into human form. So who is the muse? Who is your invisible muse? What is your invisible muse? I say you are. I say we are all our own invisible muses. Now that doesn't mean that we aren't inspired by other things. I'll list you the 9 Greek muses. Calliope was the muse of epic poetry. Clio, the muse of history. Erato, the muse of lyric poetry. Euterp, the muse of music. Melpomene, the muse of tragedy. Polyhymnia, the muse of sacred poetry. Terpsichore, the muse of dance and chorus. And Thalia, the muse of comedy and idyllic poetry. And finally, Urania, the muse of astronomy. Now you're going, well, where's all the science in that? When you get into the details, it talks about the terminology that they used and how the sciences are involved in these things. Geometry was covered. Astrology was covered. Sorrow and tragedy was covered. Delight in dancing, the joyous, the flourishing, the creation of beautiful lyrical phrases and poetry. All of these different things were attributed to, in Greek mythology, attributed to the domain of these muses. I believe the invisible muse is already within. In 1948, something very special happened. Murdo MacDonald Bain gave a series of talks that were called the Christ Lectures. And they were recorded and they were scribed. And during these talks, the audience, there was a select invited audience, and they claimed that when they saw him, he came out unprepossessing, just a guy, you know, kind of short, kind of average, kind of normal. But then throughout his talk, as he started talking, their visual of him, he grew taller, he grew more powerful. His visage changed. They saw a presence overlaid upon him giving these talks. And even his voice was a little different as he gave these talks. This book, Divine Healing of Mind and Body, is the text of several of his talks. And it's important when we're talking about the invisible muse, and when we talk about what Ernest Holmes says, that we as finite are products of the infinite, that there is only one. Now Murdo, when he was speaking, it was like he wasn't talking to people or talking about things. He was speaking purely. It was like the words were moving through him as an advanced being. And talk number 8, called The Kingdom of Heaven is Within, he says, "Heaven is the kingdom of the innermost or spiritual, otherwise called the Christ consciousness, the tabernacle of the Most High. Earth is the symbol of the outer or opposite or material, both eternally subsisting in the one in perfect unity. The kingdom of heaven is within you." This statement has been proclaimed all over the world, but few have understood the deeper meaning of it. When you realize the deeper meaning of this saying of mine, then you will realize also the power that goes with it, for in the inner realms there dwells the Most High. God the Almighty in your midst is strong. He falters not. He is greater than the greatest. He is beyond the comprehension of even the archangels. Yet he dwells in you, and his dwelling place is called the kingdom of heaven within you. Now, how many times have we talked about the Father within, the Spirit within, the inner voice, that which is within us that knows, and that we open up to it to expand our awareness and our consciousness? We ask a question and the answer is given. We can ruminate all day long. Oh, I wonder, 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 wonder. But when we actually ask the question, the answer is provided. Try that sometime. Next time you're going, I don't know, could be this, could be that. Ask a specific question and breathe. And you'll get an answer. That's just how it works. Murdo also said, "Heaven and earth is the operation of the one eternal spirit expressing itself in form, yet there is no separation. The body is but the focal point through which the invisible man functions. The body is but the focal point through which the invisible man functions. The Christ of God, to manifest, is involved in the form created and existing in the one, and the one existing in all. Life alone lives, and this is the all-important truth. Truth that has no beginning, therefore there is nothing new. All that is to be is already known to God. The fact that you are here is by no mere chance. The fact that you are here was already known to God. Even a sparrow does not fall to the ground, lest the Father knoweth. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. In this recognition, there is an intelligence that is active everywhere. And this intelligence expresses itself through the consciousness that becomes aware of it. The greater the awareness, the greater the manifestation of the intelligence. This intelligence is active and never passive. It is continually outpicturing the desires of the Spirit. For within you, the Christ dwells and is the only creative power in you. The Christ consciousness is the only creative power in you. It is the idea of the nine muses. It is the idea of Mnemosyne and knowing all. What thrills me is I can look for writings from all over the world, and I keep coming up with the same thing. Murdo wasn't saying anything new. He was just saying something new to the people who hadn't heard it before. This was a great awakening for all the people who were attending his talks. And yet we know that back in 1926, Ernest Holmes wrote his first edition of The Science of Mind. And even the copy we use every day as our textbook is from 1938. Murdo's Talks came in 1948. But he wasn't a part of New Thought as we knew it at that time. How can so many people all over the world come to the same understanding of a message? It's because that understanding is already known. And so as we open ourselves up to it, as we ask the question, what does this mean? How does this impact me? The answers pour forth. Sometimes they pour forth in writings. Sometimes they pour forth in talks. Sometimes they pour forth in experiences. And in ancient Greece, they poured forth through a belief in these goddesses called muses that were inspiring people, inspiring them from being a sheep herder to being an epic lyrical poet. I forgot his name, but it's in all my research. David too, but he wasn't in Greek mythology. So this man became inspired by the muse of lyric poetry, and he started speaking about them and writing these poems about the muses, and he became a renowned lyrical poet. I think that was probably much more comfortable for him than keeping an eye on all the sheep. And yet we know from the Bible, the story that you got your herd of sheep. If one goes missing, you go in search of the individual sheep, because all life is precious. Everyone is part of the one. Which leads me to the next part of Murdo's talk on the kingdom of heaven. He says in verse 82 to 84, all members of the body have not the same function, yet they are of the one body. So it is with you. You are many, and you work differently, yet you are all of one body. The body of the Christ holds all. His spirit is in all. Please think deeply with me. This is what Murdo said. Please think deeply with me. You have all different gifts according to the grace that is given unto you. Some of you may have clear sight. Others may have more faith. Some may have the gift of teaching and some of healing. Some the gift of consoling. Yet it is the one Christ that is manifesting in you all, and you live in the one body of Christ. You live in the Christ consciousness, because you are part of that Christ consciousness. You are part of the infinite universe. You are made of the same stuff as the planets, as the plants, as the galaxies, as everything. That's you, star stuff, God stuff, sitting in this room, sharing that amazing essence and spirituality with each and every one of us. And I am honored to be in this space with you. I truly am. Everyone that you meet, everything that you experience, is a potential muse for you, because there is only one muse. That inner knowing, that inner divinity, that which is within you, that is your inner muse. And it's invisible, I mean, it's not like the cartoons where you've got the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other shoulder, and one's going, "Oh, let's get inspired to do something good." And the devil's going, I heard there's a new recipe for a martini I want to try." So it's not like that, but it is completely invisible because you can't see it outside of yourself. It is who you are. So if you really, really want to get a look at your invisible muse, I recommend you find a mirror. Find a mirror, look deep into the eyes of your muse and say, "Thank you. Thank you for every inspiration I have ever received, I have ever acknowledged." Because there's a difference in receiving and acknowledging. We receive input through our sensory system and through our hearts all day, every day. What do we acknowledge? What do we acknowledge? Do we acknowledge the truth of our being? Do we acknowledge that everyone we see is part of who we are? That there's no separation? That we are simply like fingers on a hand? We may do different things, but we're still a part of the body of consciousness that is all of divinity, that is the infinite, that is the living spirit almighty that lives and moves and has our being within us as we live and move and have our being in the divine. So I have a question for you. Are you ready to recognize that you are the most powerful muse you have? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay. So if you are in alignment with me, please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today. I am ready.
I am ready.
To listen to the muse within.
To listen to the muse within.
To be guided in all creativity.
To be guided in all creativity.
By that which is mine to be.
By that which is mine to be.
And I am grateful.
And I am grateful.
And so it is. So breathe. Just breathe. That is so powerful. You are your own muse because the divine in you is the muse of all, the inspiration, the wisdom, the knowledge, the love, all in all. You are bathed in it. You breathe it. This is who you are, and you named it and claimed it. That's pretty powerful. I would like to wrap up with a story. It's in Wake Up, Live the Life You Love in Spirit.